Rudyard Kipling once wrote a poem called God's Minute. It reminds us of the sacredness of time. I have only just a minute, only 60 seconds in it. Didn't seek it, didn't choose it, but it's up to me to use it. I must suffer if I lose it, give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. During one 24-hour day, you and I are given 1,440 minutes, important minutes that we can only use once. Each one of them is a priceless gift. Moses prayed in Psalm chapter 90, "Lord, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." What are you doing with the time God gives you? I'm Ron Jones, and this is Something Good.
We often think of time as something we spend, but the Bible tells us that it is something we first have to buy back. Hello and welcome to Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones, lead pastor at Crossway Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. My name is Brian Davis, always glad to have you with us. So how do we go about the process of buying back our time? The answer comes your way next as Ron shares five biblical ways to redeem your time. Stay with us now as Ron moves ahead in his series, I Resolve. Or come see us at somethinggoodradio.org to listen on demand anytime. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Listen and subscribe to the podcast at Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Now here's Ron with part two of his Something Good Radio message, Resolving the Stewardship of Your Time.
Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, shows up, comes to visit, says, son, come here. You're going to have to change the way you lead here because this isn't going to work. And Jethro, who had a very booming agricultural business, remember Moses was on the backside of the desert herding sheep for his father-in-law for 40 years. Jethro was a pretty wealthy guy and had a good thing going there. Jethro had learned you got to set up captains of 100, captains of 50s, and captains of 10 over here. He laid out a management structure for Moses and a way for him to delegate responsibilities. And, that's where the principle comes from. Exodus chapter 18. How wise of God to drop that into the scriptures. And we're still learning how to be good delegators. Number three, plan your work. The old adage is true. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. I'm a planner. I get my planner out. I write things down. Everything goes into my calendar. Everything ministry related, personally related. Everything has a time block. First thing I do is I block out my sermon preparation time. Because I know if I don't put a priority on that and I don't block out that time and communicate to my staff, when I'm in sermon preparation, unless it's a death in the family and it better be yours or mine, unless there's something really, really serious, I can't be interrupted, right? I plan my work, I work my plan, and everything's in my calendar. I've learned to give a little margin in there for the unexpected things that come. Now, there's a way to plan, even as a believer in Jesus Christ, that crosses over into presumption. We get our plans in place, we get too far down the road, and then we say, oh yeah, I forgot to pray about this. Lord, will you bless my plans? And he says, well, if you had just come to me first, I might have given you a different plan. That's why James says in James chapter 4 to the business leaders, don't go into the city and say, oh, we're going to do this and this and this this year. Say if the Lord wills. Deo volente is the Latin phrase. If the Lord wills, we'll go do this and this and this. Kind of aligns with Proverbs 16 and verse 9. A man plans in his heart, but the Lord orders his steps. That's good balance. Plan, work your plan, pray first. Ask the Lord to download into your heart, into your mind, the plan for tomorrow, the plan for next month, the plan for this year, the five-year plan for your business or your ministry. He's already got that figured out. A man or a woman plans in his or her heart, but the Lord directs his or her steps. And I always leave some wiggle room for where the Lord might lead us in case I didn't get all the plan or our team didn't get all the plan. Number four, work with your natural rhythms. We're talking about ways to redeem the time, all right? Why? Because the days are evil and the days are short. Work with your natural rhythms. What do I mean by that? I'm a morning person, and I didn't figure that out for a long time. But I can get more done between 5 a.m. and 10 a.m. than I'll ever get done between 5 p.m. and 10 p.m. And my family's figured this out. My mind is mush after about 7 p.m. at night. I'm a morning person, and when I was in college, I remember I tried to keep up with all the people who would cram for tests the night before and stay up real late. Oh, come over to this study group, and we're gonna cram all night long for this 9 a.m. exam, and they're up till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and by then my brain is mush, and I walk into the exam, and I can't even think straight. It would have been better had I gone to bed at 9 o'clock and gotten up at 4 o'clock and studied from 4 to 9. But I didn't figure that out for a long time in my life. I'm the morning person. My wife is the night person. She's the night owl. She'll get more done between 9 p.m. and 2 a.m. Me, lights out early if I'm going to be ready to go. I see a pattern like this in Scripture. The book of Joshua. Joshua was Moses' successor. And as Joshua was leading the Israelites into the promised land, you read the book of Joshua and just pay attention to this phrase, and Joshua got up early in the morning. And Joshua got up early in the morning. As they were getting ready to take the city of Jericho, and Joshua got up early in the morning. I kind of get the impression Joshua was an early morning guy. You figure out the rhythm, your natural rhythm, and here's the challenge. Give God the best hours of your day, give him your best thoughts. Give him your best thoughts. Lastly, learn to say no. A lot of people don't know how to say no because they've never established their biblical priorities. They don't have any priorities in life. And as the days and weeks and months of the year hit them, there's this responsibility and this demand on their time and this request over here. And they haven't learned kind of their default yes or no. Jesus told us in the Sermon on the Mount, after a sermon about worry, he says, don't worry about, you know, all that stuff about what you're going to wear and what you're going to eat and all the necessities of life. He says, don't worry, trust God. And then he finishes up in Matthew 6:33 and he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What are all these things? All these things you worry about. You get your biblical priorities straight, and that starts with what matters in the kingdom of God. You get your biblical priorities straight. Learn to say no to those things that do not fulfill your priorities and the purposes for which God created you. And you'll be focusing on the things that, you know, with the best investment of your time, accomplish the purpose that God has given to you. That's a lot in the area of I resolve to redeem the time. Secondly, I resolve to spend time with Jesus. I resolve to spend time with Jesus. I remember reading the work of a kind of time management expert years ago. And he categorized time this way. He says, we have focus time, we have free time, and we have family time. You know, just kind of manage yourself around that. Focus time, free time, family time. Not a bad way to think about the categories of time and time management. I added a fourth and I put it at the top. I call it formation time. And I'm talking about what we call spiritual formation in the Christian life. You might be more comfortable with the term discipleship, all right? But spiritual formation is giving ourselves to the kinds of spiritual disciplines in cooperation with the Holy Spirit that form us into the image of Christ. The Apostle Paul in Galatians, he says, I am in the pain of childbirth, as it were, until Christ is formed in you. And I think the analogy there is very intentional. We know the time that it takes for a child to form in a mother's womb. It's going to take time for Christ and his character to form in you and to form in me. And that introduces us to this idea of spiritual formation.
We'll be right back with more of today's Something Good message from Dr. Ron Jones, so don't go away. The Bible mentions prayer hundreds of times, often with bold promises associated with our heaven-sent conversations. Jesus even says that we will receive anything we ask for in faith. So how can you claim that promise for yourself and pray with confidence that God hears you? Learn how in Ron's latest book, The Jesus Way to Pray, An Intimate Journey Through the Lord's Prayer. That's The Jesus Way to Pray, An Intimate Journey Through the Lord's Prayer. Order your copy for a donation of $25 or more. Share it with a friend by requesting a two-pack for $50, a four-pack for $75, or an eight-pack for $150 or more. Give online at somethinggoodradio.org or over the phone by calling our offices at 757-276-1099. Or mail your gift to P.O. Box 6245, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23456. Now let's get back to Ron as he shares the second half of today's message, resolving the stewardship of your time.
What kind of time are you willing to resolve that you're going to spend with God this year? Being in church on Sunday is part of that. That's part of your spiritual formation and mine. Being connected in a small group, a life group, is part of your spiritual formation. You need to find the time to do that. Get connected to a life group this year if you're not already connected to one. And then your personal time with the Lord, that's formation time. Now is the time, this is the year you need to resolve to spend time with Jesus. And this was the practice of Jesus' life. We don't pull these spiritual disciplines out of thin air. We see it in Jesus' life too. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, look at this. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Now listen, friends, if Jesus thought it was necessary to start his day this way, to get alone with his heavenly Father, and this was his practice, how much more important it is for you and me. But some of you have not made the definite and earnest decision, the resolution to spend time with God. Now's the time to do that. Don't let another year go by with a bang of firm intention, ending up with a whimper of sad regrets. And when you look back and you say, you know, I wasn't in church very often. I was there whenever it was convenient for us to be there, when we didn't have ball games to go to or this to go there. I wanted to get it connected in a life group, but I never did. And you know, I started reading through the Bible, but I don't know, by the 1st of February, I got so far behind, I lost interest. That's the vast majority of people who call themselves Christians and who say they go to church these days. We lose our resolve so quickly. I resolve to spend time with Jesus. That formation time is at the top of my list. Lastly, I resolve to rest in God's perfect timing. And he does have perfect timing. There are some of you who are waiting on God to do some things in your life, and you've been waiting for a long time. Maybe you were waiting this time last year and you thought last year was the time, but you're still waiting. And it's really testing your faith. I don't know what it is. We could talk about a whole host of different things, but we've all been in God's waiting room before. Here's just a reminder at this time of the year, as we turn the page on the calendar as time-bound creatures and give thought to time, is to, by faith, resolve to rest in God's perfect timing. You know, Jesus had an amazing sense of the Father's timing, and he operated his ministry in step and in stride with the Father's timing. John chapter 7, read that chapter sometime, and you'll find Jesus' earthly brothers trying to pressure him, saying, now is the time, Jesus. They weren't really sure about the messianic stuff, but they saw a burgeoning ministry, and they came to him with a marketing plan and said, Jesus, now is the time for you to go show yourself at the Feast of Tabernacles. John chapter 7, for not even his brothers believed in him, Jesus said to them, "My time has not yet come, but your time is always." Why did Jesus have this sense that now was not the time, even though the momentum of the crowds, I mean, even his own earthly brothers were saying, "Man, now's the time, go capitalize on it." No, now's not the time, Jesus said. A little bit later in John chapter 12 and verse 23, we have this, "And Jesus answered them, 'The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified.'" Now he's heading to Jerusalem for the Passover. It wasn't the time earlier. And Jesus was in step, in stride with the Father's timing. I have found over the years to get in step and in stride with that, I got to do a lot of waiting, a lot of praying. And it's usually at a time of not of my choosing. Even Christmas gives us some sense of God's perfect timing. Galatians 4 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul is reflecting on Bethlehem, and he says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son." Do you have any idea how long people had waited between Malachi and Matthew? 400 years without a word from a prophet of God. All they had were promises and prophecies from 600-700 years earlier. And they're waiting. Certainly now is the time. Certainly now is the time. Certainly in our generation, God will send Messiah. And generation after generation passed. But in the fullness of time, when God, who is eternal, looked into time and said to his Son, "Now's the time, go." And he sent the angels, and Bethlehem took place. God has perfect timing. And as you and I are waiting on him in this year, we wait in faith. We rest in him. John Maxwell wrote a book many years ago called The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. And one of the leadership laws he talks about in there is the law of timing. I think this is really good. Works in a lot of different places, but he envisions four different scenarios. The wrong action at the wrong time leads to disaster. Unfortunately, too many of us have been there. The right action at the wrong time, well, you'll get some resistance. It may be the right thing to do, but it's the wrong time. And people are resisting the idea. I've been there in ministry. Sometimes it takes some time to work through different issues and all that. It's the right thing to do, wrong time. Wrong action at the right time is a mistake. You know, you don't have the action plan down to begin with. Maybe you got ahead of the Lord. You didn't let him download his plan. Well, the right action at the right time is success. Do you know who always operates in the lower right quadrant there, where it's the right action at the right time? That's where God operates. And it's not our job to pull him into one of the other quadrants, my plan, my time, or my plan, your time, or your time, my plan. It's to align our plan to his plan and let him choose the timing of that. Because he will always determine the right action at the right time, and you'll be amazed by the success of it. So rest in that. Trust him. If it isn't coming together right now, if there's resistance or some disaster, or, you know, come back to the drawing board, get down on your knees again. A man plans in his heart, but the Lord orders his steps. The frequency of those steps, the pace of those steps, where those steps go, and the right action at the right time leads to the success that we all want, right? That makes sense, doesn't it? Rest in faith in the Lord's perfect timing. Let me finish with this little poem written by Rudyard Kipling. I love this, called God's Minute. "I have only just a minute, only 60 seconds in it. Didn't seek it, didn't choose it, but it's up to me to use it. I must suffer if I lose it. Give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it." That's the perspective that we need, that time flies. Time is a sacred trust, and eternity is in that time. And what we do with this sacred trust called time will impact eternity for the glory of God. Oh, I resolve to be a better steward of the time that God has given me this year, because I don't know how much more time I've got. None of us does. Our life is but a vapor and it's but a mist. Here today, gone tomorrow. Maximize that time. Redeem the time. Rest in God's perfect timing. Spend time with Him. All of these kinds of things that we put into practice.
Thanks for being here for today's Something Good radio message, Resolving the Stewardship of Your Time. I'm pleased to welcome in Dr. Ron Jones. Ron, this question is a little off topic, but it does involve a New Year's resolution of sorts. You've shared these thoughts before, and today, as we have just kicked off a brand new year, I know you wanted to take just a few minutes to challenge men, specifically husbands, to make a resolution of their own.
Well, Brian, as we start a brand new year here on Something Good Radio, it seemed like a good time to answer this question. What does it look like to be a good husband? The reason I'm choosing this question is because I'd like all of you men out there to join me in making this the year you resolve to love your wives the way Christ loves the church. I mean, get before God in private, resolve to allow Him to give you some revelation on the subject, make the necessary changes in your understanding, and then begin practicing what you've learned on a consistent basis. It will revolutionize your marriage. Now, I'm going to say something that may surprise you about what that kind of love looks like. We all know the Bible says, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. But here's a practical application that comes out of that verse. Jesus gave His life away in service. Yes, He did. But He also justified the church and refused to hold its sin against them. Now let that sink in. Because how many times do we hold the mistakes of our wives over them? How many times are we in an argument and we blame the entire disagreement, or at least most of it, on her? Now sure, sometimes that's exactly what happened. Wives are human too, and they make mistakes. But so does the church. And Jesus took the sin of the church on Himself. So I'm encouraging husbands to take the sins of their wives upon themselves. If there's an argument, if there's a fight, admit your own blame in it, tell her you're sorry, and don't say anything about her part in it. Cover her sin. Don't take it into account. Then allow her to be the church and come to you on her own, without coercion or judgment on your part. Just try it. As difficult as it sounds and as impossible as it seems, just try it. And I'm telling you, once you begin leading your wife like that, she will follow. Now, this is not a complete answer to the question. You'll have to look into the rest of it on your own. And a great way to do that is to study exactly how Jesus loved the church and what He did for the church, the specifics of it. But it will change the way you think about your role as husband, and I can all but promise you it will ultimately change the way your wife looks at her role as well.
Amen, Ron. Thanks for those words of wisdom about being faithful stewards of our marriages. Well, Ron, the clock is winding down here, but before we leave for today, tell us about the next message in your series, I Resolve.
Sure thing, Brian. Well, tomorrow we get into maybe the least common subject matter when we are talking about stewardship. We often talk about stewarding our money and our time, but our talent, our gifts and abilities don't often get the attention they deserve. I want our listeners to think about the gifts God has given them, their salvation for one, but also the specific talents. Maybe you can sing, maybe you're a great teacher, maybe you're terrific with kids. If God has put any or all of those things in you, He wants to get those things out of you in service to others and to His church. I'll talk more about that over the next couple of days right here on Something Good Radio.
That's tomorrow in Dr. Ron Jones' message, Resolving the Stewardship of Your Talent. Join us then for Something Good. For Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis saying God bless. And thanks for listening.